We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Welcome back into the Keystone Kickoff Show. Fourth and final quarter here, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network, KeystoneSportsNetwork.com. This is our Penn State, Kent State look ahead for week three of the college football season. Penn State returns home. They come off that 51-6 win over Pitt in a game that was last week's Super Bowl for Penn State. Kent State is now the Super Bowl for James Franklin and his team. They're 2-0. I think they've taken some steps to answering some questions, and I think what this game does as you wrap up the non-conference season is, you know, you try to take further steps. You try to have a little bit of a feel-good rhythm game before you get launched into Big Ten play.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, you look at what Penn State's done through two games, and I don't really know if we know exactly what this Penn State team is going to be. I mean, I think probably we have an idea, but we don't necessarily know all of about. We don't know everything about its identity at this point in time, Dustin. So, to me, I think we need to see Penn State this week come out and just put four quarters together. I know the weather could be a problem. I know that, you know, it's kind of a sluggish game between Pitt. You have Illinois on deck. You're looking down the road to Ohio State. But this is one of those games you just have to go out, win convincingly, leave no doubt, and let people feel good about the fact that 3 weeks into the season, a lot of the question marks you have are now answered.
34 points was the line to open the week. I'm sure we'll see some shifts throughout the week and all the way leading up to game time. I'm not sure which direction it will shift. I'm guessing down for a couple reasons.
Hi.
Number one is 34 is a big point spread no matter what. The other thing was, you know, the lookout as the week goes on for what the weather has in store. You know, I think beating Pitt 51-6 was you know, sets the bar pretty high for what you can do in the rain, because Pitt, you know, beat it. I don't know how many points Pitt itself was responsible for, but I'm not sure if they cover that point spread if it's not for Pitt's mistakes. So that's a big point. That's a big number, and it's a big number in the rain.
Yeah, and I just think, too, that you look at everything Penn State has done in the James Franklin era. They typically win these non-conference games pretty well in hand, but I just think you have the weather to look at. You know, they're saying overcast, potentially a lot of rain, potentially not a lot of rain. We're just going to have to watch that throughout the week. I really think this hurricane is going to come through will tell us a lot about how, you know, this game is going to play out. If it's dry, Penn State probably wins by 40. If it's not, I think they win by 30 or less. So keep an eye on that. Wait and see how things shake out as the week gets closer. But it's an interesting Kent State football team. You know, you look, they had a really close game against Illinois, which I don't know if that says more about Illinois or Kent State, but maybe we can discuss that later. But it's not a great team by any stretch of the imagination. You know, they just don't have a ton to get excited about. They have had players in the past like that. They just don't have it this year. You know, I think the quarterback, Woody Barrett, is kind of interesting. He was at Auburn previously, if I'm not mistaken. So he certainly has some talent, but besides that, they just don't have a lot going for him.
It's a running team, and Barrett himself is a true dual threat player, and they did have Illinois on the ropes, and I think that is more reflection on Illinois than anything.
Is it surprising to you that Lovie Smith is still the head coach there?
Not really, because I don't think you make a commitment to a guy who's won a bunch of games in the NFL and give up on that commitment after a year or whatever.
They probably should.
It's where it's all going. I mean, if we're being honest about it, it's where we're all going. It's where I thought Arizona State was going with Herm Edwards, but here we are. They're 2-0. They just beat Michigan State. That earned him a good solid chunk of leash. If Kent State beats Illinois, and they do it on the road at Illinois, then you start to have a much bigger problem on Illinois' hands. They were up 17-3 at the half. You know, there was a late touchdown pass from Woody Barrett to Mike Kerrigan. Illinois, they overcome that deficit, but they were trailing late in the third quarter, and that one they just happened to tilt it into their favor. But, you know, for Kent State, I mean, I think they've shown that they can run the football a little bit. It's a little bit dicey in the passing game. So if you have some weather, if you have some pass rush, if you have some elite athletes that are going to close down windows, I think you're going to be able to force Woody Barrett into some mistakes. They're going to come out and they're going to try to borrow from Pitt's first half blueprint. They're going to try to use a couple different guys to move the football. They come off a 54-14 win over Howard, which, you know, on the surface, whatever. Cam Newton, I believe, is Howard's quarterback. Kalen Newton. Justin Rankin goes for 147 yards. Joel Shaw goes for a buck 05. You know, they go 52 carries, 355 yards. They score six touchdowns on the ground. That's what they're going to want to do.
Right.
And in theory, that's not bad. And I think in practice for Penn State, it's another good little, you know, it's not a test from a win-loss perspective. Then again, a couple weeks ago, I said the same thing about Appalachian State, but it's a test in that it's another team that has some pieces that they can try to run the football. It's going to force that part of Penn State's defense to grow.
Yeah. I think that, again, when we talk about things you want to see in this game, I think you want to see Penn State actually go out and just earn it on defense, you know, make this Pitt second half the template you want to play by all year long. And if you're able to do that, I think you're probably going to feel fairly decent about what you're able to accomplish. So we'll see. Woody Bear is interesting. I remember Joel Shaw. He's a pretty interesting running back as well. I don't think this is a bad Kent State team. I just don't think it's one that's good enough to compete with Penn State at any point in time. So we'll see. The weather could neutralize things, but Dustin, I just think ultimately this is the kind of game that if you want to be a national title contender, an FBS contender, a Big Ten title contender, you have to go out and win games like this and win them easily, allow your guys to take it easy and get some rest and all of that. So we'll see.
This is the Keystone Kickoff Show brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Looking ahead to Penn State, Kent State, a 34-point spread to start things off at Beaver Stadium. Penn State's last non-conference game before they launch into conference play the following week at Illinois. Segment brought to you by GoPSURV, where they are renting half-price RVs for the Kent State game this weekend. Also doing a Friday night tailgate from 6 to 9 p.m., where you can check out 409 Tailgate Club Barbecue, some tailgate wine, Shotzi's brats. Check out all the details at GoPSURV.com. A good deal. Mark from GoPSURV did it for the season opener against Appalachian State. Coming back to do it again for Penn State, Kent State. Check them out at GoPSURV.com. Is Penn State a contender for anything? You know, I think that's what we're trying to work through as we're seeing one piece of evidence at a time. The Pitt game is a weird trick game to try to get a feel and evaluate, but at the end of the day, that was 51-6. At the end of the day, that, you know, for better or worse, Penn State stayed focused and stayed in the moment from minute one to minute 60, and that's one of the thing about football games that you tend to underestimate. You know, your guy who calls you the president of the Trace McSorley Apologist Club is that in 60 minutes of football, there are down moments. Even for great teams, there are down moments against teams that they should blow out. It makes you wonder, and if it's your team on the field, you tend to take a pessimistic outlook. I think for the Kent State game in general, Greg, I think they do need to send a statement, and I think the number one thing that they can send a statement about is that their defense is ready to play, because they need to be ready to play starting at Illinois. You know, where the game you're really launching into Big Ten mode. A smothering performance by Penn State's defense would go a long way to ease people's concerns here.
Yeah, you know, one thing too I'd like to just point out, as you mentioned there, the impending start of conference play, is I thought Penn State would trip up at Illinois. I thought that might be a tough contest before the season. I no longer feel that way. I never felt that way about Kent State, and looking at it more and more, I don't feel that way either. You know, sometimes you get a scare in non-conference play. Penn State got it already at, you know, in week one against Appalachian State. So, you know, I just have a hard time really getting fired up about this game. I do. You had a really good week one opponent that, you know, took you down to the wire, and then you have a blowout win over Pittsburgh, and now it's just kind of, well, whatever. You know, okay. Got to go play Kent State, la la la. So, I don't know. I have a hard time getting fired up for it. Just looking at what Kent State's Sean Lewis had to say, obviously, you know, that, you know, he talked about Micah Parsons and impressions of him and some other stuff. So, it'll be an interesting game, I think, for Penn State. Again, the biggest thing is that you want to go out and just have a good performance, feel good about what you are able to put on tape, and then use that to springboard you into the start of conference play.
Yeah, so I think for Penn State, as a 34-point favorite. I think they're in a position to dismantle. It's one thing, I think, for a team like Kent State to have a little bit of success against Illinois, to have success against Howard. I think this could be a coming-of-age kind of thing for Penn State's front seven. Defensively, I think there's a good chance that on the offensive side of the ball, you know, I would like to see their receivers make some plays. And I would say big plays. I think just make any plays in this one. That would be another thing that people are a little bit concerned about going into, you know, as the game start to get real here, is your DeAndre Tompkins, your Juwan Johnsons, your some of your other guys in the offense carrying their weight and getting a feel like they're moving in the right direction in the passing game. That would be another thing. I think there's a good chance you see some true freshmen in this game. It's one of the last really good opportunities at home to use that 4-game redshirt rule. You started to see Justin Shorter a little bit. Are we going to see Jahan Dotson? Are we going to see some of these other guys who are destined for red shirts that might get a chance to play? That's where a blowout win really becomes more valuable. And at what point in a blowout win will James Franklin feel comfortable putting these guys out there? Didn't happen until very, very, very late against Pitt.
Never Maybe over. The game's different. Never over, Dustin. You don't take your starters out of the Super Bowl, do you? No. Penn State plays the Super Bowl every week.
They played 12 different Super Bowls this year.
Some good quotes from Sean Lewis, the head coach at Kent State, according to the CDT. He said Micah Parsons has a galaxy over there because of the number of stars he got in recruiting. He also made the very good observation that it's going to be louder at Penn State than it was at Illinois when asked about how a week one matchup with a Big Ten team can help for this week. I think it'll be a little bit louder. No question about that.
Not that this is going to be a defining factor in anything, but our Penn State fans going to show up if there's rain and an early kick and a Kent State team.
Oh, they'll be there. Probably not as in full force. You know, I don't think you're going to see 107,000. What is it, strong, that James Franklin says and always asks for home games. But, you know, it should be a pretty good crowd. It's an affordable game to go to. I think that'll bring people in. Hopefully, if the rain stays away, you know, but the noon starts are always tough. There's no debating that, especially when it's an opponent like this. So, yeah, I say it'll be full. It won't be, you know, the biggest crowd you've ever seen, but it still should be enough, obviously, to bother Kent State on the road.
What do you got for game flow and a pick?
38-0 Penn State. It's never in doubt. The defense pitches a shutout that gets us a little bit more excited than we should be about their progress after 3 weeks. Micah Parsons has a big game. Miles Sanders runs all over Kent State, and somebody will ask about Trace McSorley and why he's not good enough next week for the next week's show.
That's exactly like somebody from the Trace McSorley Apologist Club would say. You did, however, in Greg's Best Bets, pick Kent State to cover, did you not?
Yes, correct.
So that's not a cover there.
You're right.
I'm going to pick them to cover by a hair using that 34 points, 40-7. 40-7
there you
Penn
go.
State.
I'm going to back mine down then. I got to stay consistent with the show here. Let's go with 32-0.
32-0. All right. So there you go. Penn State, Kent State, week 3 of the college football season. Enjoy the game. Be sure to check back with us on KeystoneSportsNetwork.com.
Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light want to remind you that fall is the best season. Why? Because of football. Leaves. Fantasy football. Flannel. Beards. Tailgating. Oh yeah, and more football. Welcome to the best season ever. Grab some Labatt Blue and Labatt Blue Light. Cause it's time to get undomesticated. Beer. Labatt USA. Buffalo, New York. Always enjoy responsibly.
Life gets complicated. And it only gets more complicated when things change. Which is why AAA insurance agents take the time to talk with you so that they can help you choose the best auto and home coverage. Don't put off getting protected. Let AAA help cover what you care about. Insurance that's not just insurance. Talk to your local AAA insurance agent or visit AAA.com to learn more about AAA.
Hey, Dustin Hockensmith here from the Keystone Sports Network. I wanted to share my own firsthand experience using 409 tailgate sauce. It's a product you hear about often on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is not an advertisement. It is a fact. 409 tailgate sauce is different from every barbecue sauce I have ever bought. It's not that thick, syrupy, artificial stuff you'll find on grocery store shelves. It's lighter, it's more versatile, and it's good on just about everything. I'd recommend going to 409tailgateclub.com right now. See what I mean, experience that difference, and tailgate with honor.